Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Anton Myberg, he is a pulmonologist physician and a COVID-19 expert. Who would have thought when 5780 started that you would end the year as a COVID-19 expert? Good morning.
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, listeners. As I've said previously, there's no such thing as a COVID-19 expert anymore. We're all experts. Google has taught us all a lot, and we're all learning new things every single day about this virus. So we carry on learning as we go along.
Yeah, indeed. So let's just, before we reflect on the year that's been, the Jewish year that has been, let's just talk about level one lockdown. I'm assuming that you have been following and you watched the president's address last night. Your thoughts?
So I think he had no choice. Now is the right time to lower restrictions. We're going in the right direction from a numbers point of view. People are taking care in certain elements. The hospitals are much emptier than they were before. But we've still got to be vigilant. We've still got to be realized that there still is a virus out there, and there still are people getting sick, and there are still people dying from the virus. So we can't let our guard down. We've got to be vigilant, albeit that the borders are opening in some aspects and some international flights are opening. This doesn't mean we've got this carte blanche to just go free now and stop wearing masks and stop washing. Now more so, because there's less restrictions, we've got to have more restrictions upon ourselves.
Yeah, well, what's fascinating is that if we compare this Jewish festival, Rosh Hashanah, with the festival of Passover, when we actually went into lockdown, the daily numbers are significantly higher today than they were then. But obviously the trend is moving in the other direction. Can you please explain how that makes any sense?
Well, I think because of the fact that we've been through the major part of the war, you know, this whole process was a war. It wasn't just some sort of pandemic that people are talking about. This was a battle, and we fought the majority of the battle, and hopefully we've won what we think is the battle. There's still elements of the battle that are still there to be fought. But at the beginning of Passover, we were only coming into this virus, not understanding what it meant and what it could do. Now the fact is we're going into the Jewish New Year, and we've been over a major hurdle. The numbers are coming down dramatically. People are feeling better. A lot of people have had the virus. Some people have got antibodies. So because the numbers are coming down and because the trend is lower, it's now a different position that we're in at the time of Passover.
The new regulations in terms of places of religious worship is, I think it's 200 or 250 people maximum indoors to a venue that holds 500. How is that going to be policed? Because, I mean, I can imagine that a small room, you can have 250 people in it and say, well, no, actually, normally we crowd 500 people in here. How's that going to help us?
Yeah, it's not. It's a disaster. I don't see how that's going to work. Bringing everyone back to a sense of normality or normalcy, it's going to cause major problems. There's no way to police that type of sitting or that type of environment indoors. People are going to be taking off their masks. People are going to be socializing. And this is the big worry that all the medical professionals over the country have got about the second wave and the second surge developing. And we've got to be very, very, very sort of vigilant over this time.
And doctor, can you just educate us on what happens to people who've been infected before?
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, it's hard to hear sometimes on WhatsApp. So the question, I'll repeat.
Can you educate us on what happens to people who've been infected and then they get reinfected? What happens there? I know the WHO has said, you know, when you're infected and you get reinfected, you're not as sick as you would have been the first time round. I don't know. I'm very confused.
All right. So do we have information around second infection? Is it worse? Is it better? Is it the same? Or do we just not know?
So if we're looking at the trend all over the world, the second surge is happening in Spain, in Europe, in Israel, all over in America, all over the world. And there are a higher number of infections. But from what we can see, the mortality rate is not as high. So the secondary infections don't look as severe as the primary infections did. And I suppose time will tell. You know, we're still learning, as we say. So we'll see what happens. Each country is different. Remember, we're going into summer. The Northern Hemisphere is going into winter. So it's going to be far worse in the Northern Hemisphere during the seasonal affectation. They're also going to be affected by flu. And there's a very hard differentiation to make between the seasonal influenza as well as the COVID-19.
So this could actually play out very well for us because we're going into a longer summer now, which is one of the beauties of the country. Mm. But from now, September, really through until April of next year, we're able to do a lot more outdoors. That should have a very positive impact on a potential second surge.
You know, I always say we're very lucky, not like people in New York or overseas. We've got big gardens, we've got flowing, bustling cities where we can go into parks, we can go into areas. People have got gardens in their houses. There's no high rises that people are living in comparative to overseas. So we've got a much more open environment, and hopefully that will hold us in stead.
Yeah, let's hope that as well. Before we move on to the year that was, the one question that I have, and I'm actually not going to ask you for an answer. I'm interested in our listeners' answer to this because I'm a little uncomfortable about this. Nobuchle, did you hear that he said to please download the app? Yeah, I have to say that I don't know that I want to download an app that gives government exactly, not that I've got anything to hide. I mean, I'll tell them I'm either here at work, at home, maybe visiting my father, or, you know, those are really my three options. So they can find me in any one of those places, but I still feel a bit uncomfortable about it.
What makes you uncomfortable?
I don't know. I just don't know because I think it's valuable for today, but I don't know if I want to be tracked, in 6 months' time when this information is now available to government, but in fact we no longer have a pandemic. That's why I don't want to ask Dr. Anton Marburg the question around that, because I think it's quite a personal one. But I'd love our listeners to weigh in on it. Are you going to download the app? It is free. It is a contact tracing app. It has worked very successfully overseas. Israel has used it with tremendous amount of success at one point. But I still feel a little uncomfortable, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
So we have been encouraged, but it's not mandatory.
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. It is being encouraged. So I'd love your thoughts on it. Are you going to download that app for contact tracing? Is it the right thing to do? Do you think I should do it? And please, if you do think so, then just slap me into shape.
I think you should.
All right, there we go. There we go. All right, but I need more than that because I hate being told what to do. Either way, Dr. Anton Marburg, let's look back at the year. You know, every year we stand in Shul, Rosh Hashanah time, and we look at the year ahead. Do we say who's going to live and who's going to die and how are you going to die? Who's going to be born? Are you going to die by fire, by flood, by plague, by illness in your time, before your time, etc.? Obviously, you would have had no idea of the tsunami that you personally were going to face last year when you stood in shul before God. What is your thoughts today?
So we woke up this year to a pandemic that no one could ever have thought would have happened or could happen in this day and age. And this year has changed us more than anyone ever thought it could. We need to reset, we need to readjust, refocus, restart as many times as we have to. We've learned through this process how to breathe, how to take it slow, that less is more. It's about quality, not about quantity. We are fragile beings. We are emotional creatures. This has brought out goodness in people that we never anticipated. And it's taught us many life lessons and many lessons of human nature. And we could never have thought this would ever happen in our lifetime. So when we reflect back to a year ago, when you were sitting in shul and saying all the prayers and saying all the pleas for health and for goodness, this year is very different because now we can understand what praying for health really means and what praying for our community means and what praying for our fellow man means. And it's taken us to a new level.
Do you look back on the year with sadness? Do you look back, you know, let me reframe that. Are there things that you're going to hope to take with you into the next year?
So, yeah, we've lost so much on a social point of view this year, but we've gained so much on a personal family point of view because we've been allowed to be with our families with actually being selfish. We haven't had to share anything. So what we're going to take forward with us is that humans are people, that humans need love, and that humans need socializing, and humans need to look after each other. And we are the community. We need to look after each other. We need to make sure that we take care of the people around us so that the people around us can take care of everybody else. And in taking care of ourselves, we take care of each other.
Do you think that overall South Africans have shown care for each other?
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. This community, this country, the majority of people have stood up, and they are standing up to be counted as we speak.
And from what everything you're saying, therefore, you're looking back on the year, as difficult as it's been and as horrifying as it's been. And you, of course, more than any of us, have seen the very, very tragic and real side. I don't even want to ask you how many patients you've lost. I know that you've treated hundreds of people with severe COVID-19. But at the same time, there's a certain amount of gratitude that you have and learning that you have for the year that was. Does that resonate?
100%. And we also learned that, and not that we didn't know this before, but there's a more powerful being than us, that the Creator is looking after us, and that He's taking care of us. And despite all the badness we're going through, there's so much good that has come out of this. And we've got to realize that within the storm, there's always a way out, and there's always somewhere to walk where you'll be guided in the right direction.
Dr. Anton Meyerberg, thank you for all the incredible work that you have done and continue to do, and wishing you and your family a Shana Tova. Thank you for our daily COVID report that you send us. Thank you for the Sunday of the COVID podcast, which are broadcast here on Chai as well.